You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostrecker of Ravens Wire, and we have a great Thursday episode for you today. Just some general Ravens news and notes maintenance. We're also going to be getting into the Tony Jefferson injury, talking about his replacements in Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott, and who's going to step up, and if they can step up and replicate Tony Jefferson's play. And also we're going to talk about a mini preview of the Ravens and Bengals game, talk about if the Ravens can get a win that they probably should be able to get, and I fully expect them to. We're going to be getting into all of that. So let's jump right into it. But before we do that, be sure to follow us if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Megaphone, wherever you can find a podcast, we are there. So be sure to follow us and hit the subscribe button and turn those notifications on, because you can get an update every time we release new content. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at ChaosStriker34. My personal account gives you a little bit of a personal perspective on the Ravens, whereas on the Locked On Ravens account, I post our new podcast episodes for you to listen to. So be sure to give both a follow. So let's jump right into it. I am Kevin Ostrecker of Ravens Wire, and this is your Locked On Ravens lead story. Let's get into these general Ravens news and notes, starting with who did not practice on Wednesday. Mark Andrews didn't practice. He was listed as having a shoulder injury. He has been banged up over these past few weeks, most notably with his foot. It's been common practice for him not to practice on Wednesdays. Thursdays, he doesn't practice sometimes, but once he's out there on Friday, that means he's good to go. I don't expect this to be any injury where Mark Andrews can't play through it, but a surprising point that I kind of want to bring up is I've seen people on Twitter say that Andrews should get a rest day this weekend on Sunday and not play against the Bengals. I actually wouldn't be too opposed with this, because the Ravens are supposed to win against the Bengals. Although the Bengals have given them trouble, John Harbaugh was quoted today saying that the Ravens have had trouble with Cincinnati over the past 6 or 7 years, and that is true. It seems like the Bengals have had their number. But with Andrews, you have a guy who is definitely more effective at full strength than he is at not, as are most players. But you have a guy who is Lamar Jackson's favorite target. And that's pretty much far and away the fact of the matter right now, that he is Lamar Jackson's favorite target, followed by Marquise Hollywood Brown. You want Lamar Jackson's targets, the ones he has a good rapport with, to be at 100%. And it's kind of hard to get somebody at 100% if you're playing every Sunday, practicing hard for 3 days, 4 days a week. So you have to be cautious of that, and not practicing Andrews gives him a little disadvantage when it comes game time, because he hasn't had those reps. So what the Ravens might consider doing, and what I think they should do, but will it happen? Probably not, is maybe rest Andrews this Sunday and go with two tight ends with Patrick Ricard as the third. Use him at the fullback position. You could even put him as a third tight end and have Hayden Hurst man the receiving duties and have Nick Boyle still be that top five NFL tight end blocker. And I think that would be a good strategy for the Ravens to employ, because it gives Andrews time to heal. So when you play games against the Seahawks, against the Patriots, the Texans, even the Browns again, you have one of your top offensive weapons at full strength. So just an idea. I think that could be something the Ravens could consider, but I don't think that they actually will. Marquise Brown also did not practice with that ankle injury that he suffered against the Steelers after that incredible touchdown catch that he called in against Joe Hayden, but he took a very big shot at the end of that, and then we saw that he was running up and down the sideline, went into the locker room, into the medical tent. But he came back out and played, but the Ravens were just giving him some rest. I don't expect this to be an injury that will linger with him, and I expect him to be a full go for Sunday. Maurice Kennedy did not practice because of a thigh injury, and that is actually big news for the Ravens, because Kennedy has been a steadying force after Anthony Averett kind of struggled in that role as the second cornerback opposite Marlon Humphrey with Jimmy Smith, who also did not practice with that knee injury. But Kennedy has been a steadying force. The Ravens have primarily used him at slot cornerback. Spencer made this point yesterday. The Ravens have primarily used him at slot cornerback, where he seems to have struggled, but it seems like he's been a steadying veteran presence at the outside cornerback position. And he's a guy who kind of screams slot cornerback too. He's a little undersized, plays off coverage a lot, but when he gets balls caught against him, he's able to wrap up and tackle. That was an issue against the Browns, but he was able to do that, where he was giving up 7 yard out, 7 yard receptions, but he was bringing the guy down. And if that's what your quarterback is throwing against the Ravens defense, fine, I'll take that, especially where that second cornerback spot is a little iffy. But so Kennedy did not practice with a thigh injury, and Patrick Owosso did not practice with the ankle injury. Josh Bynes stepped up at the Mike position, played really well, and let Owosso slide back into that Will position where he's not asked to do too much. It simplifies the game down for him, and that lets Owosso wreak havoc on opposing backfield. And he also looked improved in coverage. I don't think any of these injuries are going to be serious, and all four players who I just mentioned will play. And Jimmy Smith is obviously the fifth, but he, of course, I do not think will play. Some guys that did not practice that weren't injury-related, Mark Ingram, Earl Thomas, Marshall Yanda, and Brandon Carr, all guys who are getting vet days. Mark Ingram has had an immense workload over these first 5 weeks, so that's probably the reason he did not practice today. And then Thomas and Carr usually get vet days, and Marshall Yanda, of course, deserves a vet day after being such a steadying presence at that right guard position. We really don't appreciate him as much as we should. You see teams like the Bengals, who don't have a very steady offensive line right now, kind of shuffling, and the Ravens have had to do some shuffling of their own, but that right guard position where Marshall Yanda came in that third round out of Iowa, what a steadying presence. But I digress. Let's get back into these Ravens news and notes and quotes. So that was the news on Ravens practice, but also let's talk about what John Harbaugh had to say in practice. He mentioned that Jahad Ward can play both defensive end and defensive tackle. I think that he's going to bring a very steady presence to the Ravens defensive line because they're looking not only for pass rush on the outside, but pass rush on the inside as well. So they believe in Jalen Ferguson. It seems like his snap count is going to increase, Harbaugh said. And they're looking for veteran pass rushing on that defensive line. Willie Henry was that guy for the Ravens, but they released him and he remains unsigned. So Ward is a guy who's been able to produce in his career, and while injuries have slowed him down, he's able to get to the quarterback, and he was a monster at Illinois. If you haven't looked up his tape from Illinois, you probably should, because watching him in college must have been an absolute treat for those Illinois fans. So I think that Ward is going to come in and immediately contribute. I see him taking that Zach Seiler role almost. Seiler didn't really impress me a lot in that game against the Steelers, so I expect maybe Jahad Ward to be active and Zach Seiler to get deactivated for this week. Also, in Ravens news that isn't about the Ravens, CJ Mosley is set to miss his fourth game with the New York Jets, and Jeff Zriebeck of the Athletic mentioned that that would mean that CJ Mosley would miss more games in a month and a half with the Jets than he did in 5 years with the Ravens. And people give the Ravens medical staff a little bit of flack for all the injuries they've had, but I don't know. Mosley was a guy who you didn't really consider an injury risk. He did suffer an injury in week 2 against the Bengals last year, but he came back from that strong. But groin injuries can be very tricky. But when Mosley was on the field for the Jets in week 1, he was impressive all over the field. So hopefully CJ gets better soon. But let's get back to the Ravens, because Justin Tucker just won Special Teams Player of the Week for the AFC. This is his 10th win of that award, and it just shows the player that Tucker is, the absolute dominance that he's had over his career with the Ravens. And the Ravens have found a good one and are a kicking factory, as we all know. Speaking of the kicking factory, Kari Vedvik, the kicker who the Ravens traded to the Minnesota Vikings for a 5th-round pick, was cut by the Vikings, then signed with the Jets, and then cut by the Jets. Declined to work out as a place kicker for an NFL team, as he's now focused on punting, and I think this is a smart decision for Vedvik. It's very hard to do both. We all know he has a strong leg, so he's now focusing on the thing that he believes will make him a better NFL player and that will sustain his career and will give him a second opportunity. So good for Vedvik. Hopefully he does well. Maybe the Ravens are going to sign him in the offseason again and maybe offload him for a 4th this time. Who knows? But those are the general Ravens news and notes. We are going to go to break now, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott, two players who are going to replace Tony Jefferson at the strong safety position. And I'm confident in these guys, and I'll tell you why next, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. But before we do that, make a memory that lasts a lifetime. Let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Welcome back, everybody, to Locked on Ravens. Kevin Oshaker still with you here. And let's get right into these safeties. Tony Jefferson, injured with a torn ACL and more damage. He'll be out for the remainder of the season. And this is a big blow for the Ravens. I talked about it a bit in a previous podcast, but Tony Jefferson didn't live up to his potential this year. He was having a great game against the Steelers, but Jefferson is more of a run-stuffing safety. He struggled in coverage over his few years with the Ravens. I know that he's probably not happy with his play, but he's such a leader, such a nice and fun guy, and very personable. A lot, if not all, of his Ravens teammates absolutely love him. They rally around him as a leader and as a veteran, And so his presence both on and off the field is going to be missed, but Jefferson will still be in the building, still be around the team, and still be supportive there on game days. But with the Ravens losing Jefferson as a veteran who knows the defense and who's been there for a few years, and regardless of if he was struggling or if he was playing well, the Ravens transferred the green dot to him, which means that he was calling the plays and was the communicator on that defense after Patrick Owusu lost that role. Owusu, I expect, will get it back after the injury. But Jefferson is a guy who can stop the run and is a very effective player when used correctly. And although he had struggled, I think that this is a big blow to the Ravens defense. But luckily what softens it is that the Ravens have two very, very electric players. Young guys that are ready to step up in Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott. I love Deshaun Elliott. He's probably one of my favorite players on the team right now. But we're going to talk about Chuck Clark first, because Chuck Clark is a quieter guy, but he knows his way around the football, and he knows his way around the football field. The Ravens drafted Clark in the sixth round of the 2017 draft out of Virginia Tech, and in his years in the NFL, he's accumulated 47 combined tackles, and that doesn't really seem that impressive, but he also does have an interception. He had to step in for Jefferson last year when Jefferson suffered a ankle injury, and he performed well. He actually had an interception in that game. That's the game he had the interception in, and Earl Thomas was quoted saying yesterday that he was very surprised that the Ravens brought him in after he learned about who Clark was and his knowledge about football. He was quoted saying, quote, "Bro, why would they bring me in and they got this guy," end quote, just alluding to the fact that Clark is so smart. And while Earl Thomas is not too shabby himself, he has quite the football IQ. The fact that these two guys are probably going to be playing in the same backfield for the majority of games is going to be such a treat for Ravens fans, because while Jefferson is a smart player, don't get me wrong, having a guy who can soften the blow of losing a guy like Jefferson in Clark, who knows the playbook, who can work around the playbook in ways that other players can't, that'll be something that Earl Thomas will love having next to him. Clark is a guy who is a big hitter. He's a good tackler, can stop the run as well, but he's also sound in coverage. He's also very good against tight ends, which the Ravens have struggled to cover over the past few years. So the Ravens should be looking forward to having a guy like Clark on the field for them. And he is a guy who I expected to be a backup until Jefferson left, and then Elliott and Clark were kind of fighting out for the spot. So this is what's happening just a little earlier than expected. Jefferson still has one more year under contract with the Ravens. But I think that if these guys impress, and although Jefferson is loved in the locker room, he does have an $11 million cap hit, $7 million of which would be saved if the Ravens released him, and only $4 million dead money. So while I personally would like to see Tony Jefferson stay, if the Ravens feel like they can use that money elsewhere while having these two young safeties, that could be an option for the team. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying I want it to happen, but it could happen. It's an option. The other guy I want to talk about is Deshaun Elliott, the safety out of Texas, who missed all of last season with a broken arm he suffered in the preseason. But he is back this year. He hasn't played a lot. He's been relegated to primarily special teams, but he's been seeing some defensive snaps in kind of that Anthony Levine hybrid safety slash linebacker role. Elliott's more of a free safety by trade. In his 3 years at Texas, he had 105 tackles. 11.5 of those were for loss. He had 2.5 sacks, but 9 interceptions. So let's look at this 2017 season, his last year before entering the draft. 63 total tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, and 6 interceptions, 2 of which were returned for touchdowns. Elliott's a guy who has a nose for the football. He can go and cover large amounts of ground, and he's from the University of Texas. And does that remind you of anyone? Maybe a veteran safety that the Ravens just signed who also played for Texas and also can get to the ball and has a nose for the football? That would be Earl Thomas. Having two Texas Longhorns in their defensive backfield would be such a treat for all those Texas fans out there. But also, if Elliott can put it all together, and if Elliott can be more sound in coverage is a little bit of his weakness. He hasn't played a lot on defense, so I expect some learning curve there, and I expect a bit of struggle at first. But Elliott is a guy who I believe has some of the most potential on the team in terms of who can become a star. Because in that last season at Texas in 2017, Elliott proved that he was a star. In that draft, he fell far beyond where I thought he was going to fall. I thought he was going to get picked in the third, fourth round. The Ravens got him in the sixth round, one of the steals of the draft according to most pundits. And I expect that with the more time Elliott spends on defense, the more he will get up to speed and the more he will look impressive. I think the Ravens are going to rotate these two guys in and out between Clark and Elliott, because they are different players, but they have some similarities in the fact that they're both big hitters. They both have noses for the football, and They also have differences. Clark knows the playbook a bit better than Elliott, but Elliott can cover more ground. Clark can cover tight ends better, but Elliott is kind of more of the big hitter between the two, even though both are big hitters. So I expect the Ravens to rotate their young guys in and out. This is why they're not going to sign an Eric Berry or a Deion Buchanan, who's more of a hybrid linebacker like an Anthony Levine. Because we already have an Anthony Levine. We don't need a Deion Buchanan. We have Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott. They want those guys to get run. And they want to see if they have some young guns who they can rely on in the future. So I believe that that's what the Ravens are looking for with these two guys. If you haven't looked up Deshaun Elliott's highlights from college, I recommend you do. I was looking at them all before the Ravens drafted him, and what a steal the Ravens got here. I'll say it over and over again. He's known as the Joker, and he might have a bigger social media presence than Chuck Clark. I think that both guys are going to step in and contribute right away. So don't be shocked at the safety position for the Ravens. Doesn't really experience much drop-off or even gets better because the Ravens are rotating in two guys with very different skill sets. We're going to go to break, but when we get back, we're going to talk about this Ravens and Bengals game. Talk about a game that the Ravens should probably win, although the Bengals have given the Ravens trouble. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. But let's talk about MyBookie for a second before we go. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you could make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge? In MyBookie, they want to make sure that your dreams come true this season. Right now, all players are invited to participate in the free $50,000 Survivor Contest, winner take all. The contest starts October 8th and closes October 14th for the start of Monday Night Football. Pick one team each week, survive the longest, and you can take home $50,000 in cash. Make a successful deposit with MyBookie and you'll receive free entry into the contest today. If you join MyBookie right now, they will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.a-g today. You play, you win, and you get paid. Welcome back, everybody, to Locked On Ravens. We're going to get right into this Bengals and Ravens preview. Because there's a lot to talk about. It's just going to be a mini preview, so not too much information. And we're going to get right into it. Starting with the Ravens defense and starting with Andy Dalton. Dalton this season has 1,412 passing yards, 7 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. He's also been sacked 20 times, which equates to 4 sacks per game. I believe this is the game where the Ravens get on track with their pass rush, both inside and out. The pass rush for the Bengals has been in shambles. The offensive line for the Bengals has been in shambles. They're actually making an adjustment this week as Billy Price, the first-round pick out of Ohio State who they picked a few years ago, he's a center by trade, but he's going to move over to right guard. And the Bengals are just trying to shuffle that offensive line. And I believe that with the talent the Ravens have at the outside linebacker position, Matthew Judon can't be held in for too long. Pernell McPhee can't be held in for too long. Even Tyus Bowser can't be held in for too long. These guys are going to explode in one of these games, and I think this is the game that it happens. With the Bengals offensive line being so bad right now and the Ravens pass rush being so bad right now, one has to give, and I think it's going to be the Bengals offensive line that gives, and the pass rush for the Ravens is going to dominate. I also think Jihad Ward makes an impact in this game. I think that he's going to get a lot of run in that Chris Wormley type role. Wormley hasn't really done a lot this year, and I think that Ward is going to be given an opportunity. Ward is a huge guy. He's 6'5", 287, and he has 4 sacks in his career. I expect Ward to come in and make an impact for this team, both with his college tape where he looks impressive, but also his pro tape doesn't look that shabby as well. He's just had a lot of injuries throughout his career. He had a full 16-game slate in his rookie year in 2016, but only 5 in 2017, 6 in 2018, and only 3 so far in 2019. I expect Ward to come in and make an immediate impact for this team, especially against an offensive line in the Bengals that is not very good right now. I also expect the Ravens' run defense to be strong. Joe Mixon on the year hasn't impressed as much as people thought he would. He's only averaging 3.7 yards a carry, which is not bad, but it's not great either. 66 attempts for 242 yards. He's also not as big of a threat in the passing game as people think he is. Only 12 receptions on the air for 68 yards. I believe that with the newly signed Josh Bynes and the way that he performed against covering running backs and tight ends last week, I think that Joe Mixon is going to be in for a tough sledding game this week against a stout defense where Brandon Williams returned and proved his worth to the team, as well as having Michael Pierce and the big guys up there. Ward can stop the run as well. So I think that Joe Mixon's in for tough sledding. And then when you look at their wide receivers, Cincinnati's receivers, Tyler Boyd is going to be their main guy here. He had 10 catches against the Cardinals in that game last week. And he's really the only guy Andy Dalton has to throw to. John Ross, who was coming into his own, is now on injured reserve, as we heard Joe talk about. AJ Green, the Raven killer, is out for this week. So they're really relying on young guys like Damian Willis out of Troy and Auden Tate out of FSU to step up into an AJ Green and John Ross role. And we all know about Tyler Boyd. We all know what he did to the Ravens a few years ago. He's going to be locked down by Marlon Humphrey all game, and I expect the Ravens secondary to also be a shutdown force, especially with Andy Dalton, I think, not having a lot of time to throw. But let's talk about the Ravens offense, because the Ravens offense is the third best offense in the league right now, averaging 441.4 yards per game, only behind the Dallas Cowboys and Kansas City Chiefs, two teams who have high-powered offense and stars on the offensive unit as well. The Ravens have a few stars of their own, but the Cowboys have guys like Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, even Jason Witten. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, DeMarcus Robinson, Sammy Watkins, LeSean McCoy. All these guys. And the Ravens have Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson and Marquise Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, of course. But they're not stars yet. They're stars in the making. They're young guys. And with the Ravens hanging with teams like the Chiefs and the Cowboys, that's a great sign. They also have the second best run game in the league, averaging 192.2 yards per game, only behind the San Francisco 49ers, who are at 200 on the dot. I think this is a run-heavy game for the Ravens because the Bengals have struggled to contain the run. Giving up an average of 167.6 yards per game and 7 touchdowns. I just think that with Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards and Justice Hill and even Lamar Jackson, if a team is giving up 167.6 yards per game on the ground and giving up 5 yards a carry, that just screams run game plan. And while I expect Lamar to throw a bit, I think this is a heavy Nick Boyle game, a heavy Patrick Ricard game because of the blocking. And I think Mark Ingram gets probably 18 to 20 carries. Gus Edwards gets probably another 10 to 12. Justice Hill maybe 3. I think the Rams are going to shove the ball down the Bengals' throats, make them tired all game, have the offensive line work that defensive line. Geno Atkins is still on the Bengals, and he's been a Ravens killer on defense. But I think that with the improved offensive line play, although they struggled last week, the Bengals' defensive line only really has Atkins at the moment. It's not star-studded with power like the Cameron Haywards, TJ Watt, Stephon Tuitt, Javon Hargrave, all these guys. So I expect the Ravens to run. And while I expect Andrews to probably have the most targets on the team once again, I expect guys like Miles Boykin to get involved this week. He didn't play a lot last week, but I think that this will be a game where Boykin gets involved. He has 2 touchdowns on the year, but I think he will build on that as this game progresses, and also as the season progresses as well. That's all I have for you today, but tomorrow we're going to be getting into the full Bengals at Ravens preview. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.